We're going to be in the Gospel of Luke this morning, chapter 11. Please, all of you, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. And if you are needing a Bible, hopefully you can find one right under the seat in front of you, and you can turn to page 1197. Please turn there. So you can follow along with us. We're going to be looking at verses 5 through 13 this morning, but you'll notice that this chapter begins with the disciples asking Jesus to teach them to pray. And so Jesus teaches them what we know as the Lord's Prayer. And I'd actually like us all to stand again. I know you just got settled, but let's stand again, and I want to recite the Lord's Prayer together as it is recorded here in Luke. It's a little different from the way it's recorded in Matthew, but let's read the Lord's Prayer. In verse 2, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Lord, I want to thank you this morning for the privilege of prayer. May we never take that for granted. May we take full advantage, Lord, that we get to come to you and pray. The God of the universe, our Creator, the all-powerful one. Lord, teach us more about how we can pray effectively this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So this chapter begins with Jesus teaching his disciples what to pray, and he gives us this model prayer. As it continues, he goes on to teach his disciples how to pray. And he uses a really interesting parable here to teach us how to pray. Look at verse 5. It says, "And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within and say, 'Do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you.' I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his" what? "Persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." Okay, so picture two houses. They're close together in an ancient neighborhood. It's the middle of the night. It's midnight. Everything's shut down. Everything's locked up. Everyone's asleep. The kids are asleep. Mom's asleep. Dad's sawing logs, right? And right there in the middle of the night, one house gets a visitor, an unexpected guest. This is a really good friend of this family. Knocks on the door. They receive him. But the problem is they don't have enough bread to feed him. And back in those days, hospitality was huge. You had to take care of people. So this guy slips out the back door and he runs to the neighbor. Middle of the night, starts knocking on the door. "Hey, help. I've had an unexpected guest. Lend me 3 loaves of bread." And the guy in this house says, "Dude,
He didn't say that. But dude, do you know what time it is? It's midnight. We've shut everything down. The kids are asleep. They're in our own bed. Imagine if they're young, parent. You know how important it is to keep young kids asleep through the night. Don't trouble me. Go away. Come back in the morning. So this other neighbor doesn't quit. He starts banging on the door, yelling up, "Help me, help me." And so finally, this guy gets up, comes downstairs, gets fresh loaves of bread, opens the door, gives it to him. "Take it already." Shuts the door, and this guy gets what he wants. Persistence worked, didn't it? He got what he needed through sheer persistence. Have you heard that old saying, the squeaky wheel gets the grease? And you know what? I found out that we need to squeak a lot in life. You have to be persistent, especially when something breaks in your house or there's a service, you know, that you need fixed, and you got to call that customer service line, 1-800. Man, you got to fight through all those prompts till you get to a human being. And then you get the appointment scheduled. I've even gotten to the point where I'll call them back several times to remind them of the appointment. I squeak. And I've found that to be very necessary. And it does pay off. In this parable, persistence worked with a sleepy, annoyed, grumpy neighbor. So, what is Jesus teaching us in this parable? Well, he's teaching us about prayer, and he's saying that we need to be persistent in our praying. Praying is something that we should continually be doing. We should never give up on prayer. And in fact, by way of explanation, look what Jesus goes on to tell his disciples in verse 9. "So I say to you, disciples, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open." Man, verse 9 should describe every single one of our prayer lives. As Christians, we ask, we seek, we knock. And you know, those get more intense. First you ask, then you seek, then you knock. And the Greek tense in those verbs means continuous action. The idea is Jesus is saying, keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Never give up on prayer. You be persistent. All of us. Now, be careful when you interpret this parable. Jesus is not saying that our Heavenly Father is like the neighbor in this parable. Our Heavenly Father is nothing like this neighbor. For one, God never sleeps. Amen? You don't have to wake up God. You always have access to Him. Psalm 121 says, "I'll lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber." Isn't that? We have access to God anytime. Our Heavenly Father is not cranky. He's not grumpy. He's not moody. You don't have to wonder, well, am I going to catch Him on a good day today? He's gracious. He's merciful. He's kind. He's patient. He's benevolent. God is never annoyed with us. God would never say to us like this neighbor says to his friend, don't trouble me. He doesn't say, oh, it's you again. Didn't I just help you last week? He's always available, always ready, always tender-hearted. And Jesus isn't telling us that we need to see prayer as something that we do to exhaust God into getting our way. No, that's not the point of this parable at all. Jesus is arguing from the lesser to the greater. He's saying if persistent knocking works with a grumpy, sleeping neighbor, how much more will persistent knocking work with a gracious, loving, benevolent, wide awake Heavenly Father? Pray persistently. Never, ever give up on prayer. Keep knocking. Keep seeking. Keep asking. Pray, pray, pray. Even for those prayer requests that seem to take so long for God to answer. And that's a good question. Do you have this question sometimes? Why are there some requests that it seems so long for God to answer? I mean, there are other times where you ask God something, you have a prayer request, and he answers right away. And it's like those microwave prayers, right? And as Americans, we love that quick response. But then other times, there are prayer requests that seem to take much longer. You have to knock. You have to keep asking and seeking and knocking. You know, there are things that I've been praying about for years. Some of you have been praying about things for years. And you've been puzzled by the delay. You know, we do ask for prayer requests in our agape boxes, and we will get the same prayer requests over and over and over from different families here, week after week, month after month, year after year. A lot of times, families praying for the salvation of a family member. And sometimes we think, well, what's the delay? We're puzzled by it. Well, I think there's some good reasons. One explanation could be spiritual warfare. Gang, listen, when you pray, things happen behind the scenes that we don't see. And that can cause some delay. You remember Daniel? In Daniel chapter 10? In Daniel chapter 10, he is troubled. He's anxious about something. He wants to hear from God. So for 3 weeks, Daniel fasted and prayed. 3 solid weeks. And God was silent during those 3 weeks. Finally, an angel showed up to give Daniel explanation. And when the angel shows up, the angel says to Daniel, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen. Do you understand? Those prayers were heard the moment Daniel prayed them. An angel was dispatched. But there was some kind of a spiritual warfare that created some delay. And I think a lot of what we pray for, man, spiritual warfare, especially when we're praying for the salvation of souls, of family members and friends, I'm telling you, there is a war that rages over people's souls. And Jesus said, pray that the strong man be bound. Pray that the scales would come off. And so don't ever stop praying. You're fighting through spiritual warfare in prayer. And it can take 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years, 30 years. But don't ever give up. I think another reason that we experience delay is God is giving us time to clarify our prayer requests so that they fall more in line with God's will. Please understand something about prayer. Prayer is not about your will. Amen. Prayer is about God's will. There's this thing in prayer where not only are you talking, but you're listening. And you're discerning what God's will might be in a circumstance. And we need to be praying in God's will. In fact, the prayer request, or the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, how does it begin? Our Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Prayer is not us getting our will done in heaven as it is on earth. Prayer is getting God's will done on earth as it is in heaven. Seeking to find that will. Jesus told us that we need to pray in his name. Jesus made this promise. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, what does that mean to pray in Jesus' name? A lot of us end our prayers in Jesus' name, amen. Are those words in Jesus' name the great abracadabra of Christianity? No, to pray in Jesus' name means to pray as Jesus would pray, to pray as his representative, to pray with his interests and his priorities in mind. So, gang, we need to be praying according to God's will, and sometimes it takes time. And over time, your request changes as it becomes more and more in line. You know, Kim and I made the mistake early on when our kids were younger of asking our kids to give us their Christmas list in October. So they would give us their list, and so of course we were wanting to get ahead of the game, beat the Christmas rush. We'd get their gifts, and then late November, early December, they'd say, "You know, Dad, about that list." They'd change the list. And there are some times when your prayer requests do that. They change over time as God shows us more of how his will applies to whatever that request is that you have. And you got to fight. You got to knock. You got to seek. I think there's another wonderful reason why there's delay sometimes. I believe there's delay simply so that we will be drawn into more quality fellowship with our Heavenly Father. You know, prayer, the most important thing about prayer is spending time with your Father, enjoying him. It's not about bringing your Christmas list to him. Now, I'm going to ask you, what if God answered every prayer right away the way you wanted it? What would your prayer life become? It'd become superficial, wouldn't it? It'd be that card that you pulled out every time you got in a pinch. But see, the real beauty of prayer is that you're growing in your personal relationship with your Heavenly Father, and you're wrestling through things in life with him. And it always changes. Prayer always changes something, and many times it might be you, not the circumstance. Drawing close to him in prayer. I mean, that's so important. And it's so beautiful. And it's so awesome where it's you and your Heavenly Father in a prayer closet somewhere. Sir Isaac Newton said that he could take his telescope and look millions and millions of miles into space. Then he added, "But when I lay it aside, go into my room, shut the door, get down on my knees in earnest prayer, I see more of heaven and feel closer to the Lord than if I were assisted by all the telescopes on earth."
Have you experienced that personally with your Heavenly Father? His presence, your communion with Him. So Jesus is saying, pray persistently. Keep going, keep knocking. And all of these things are happening while you do that. Now, I also believe that Jesus is saying in this parable, pray confidently. Pray confidently. You know, be confident in your prayer life. I don't like the way some people view prayer. Some people view prayer as the last ditch effort. You know, it's like this, we've tried everything we can. We've exhausted all of our resources. We've expended all of our energy. Nothing left to do. The only thing left is, let's pray. Shouldn't prayer be the first line of attack? Or I hear people say things like, that business doesn't have a prayer of succeeding. Or that guy doesn't have a prayer of changing. As if prayer is this trivial, meaningless, childish, silly sort of thing. No. Prayer is powerful. Be confident in your praying. When you pray, my brother and sister in Christ, God hears every word. Understand that. Never forget it. And when you pray, my brother and sister in Christ, God understands every word that you pray and everything that's going inside that results in those words. And God cares about you. And God has the power to do things that can blow you away. We are commanded in 1 Peter chapter 5, cast all your cares upon Him, because He cares for you. Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be confident. And look at this promise, verse 10. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. That is a tremendous promise. It's a promise from the Father to you. If you keep asking, if you keep seeking, if you keep knocking, God will respond. There will be a receiving. There will be an answering. There will be an opening. Promise. Now, it may not come in the time that you think, and it may not look exactly like you think it should look, but it's coming. Your Father hears you. He knows you. Cares for you. One of my heroes in the faith is a man by the name of George Mueller. Just an extraordinary life. If you ever get the chance, read a biography on George Mueller. He's known for his faith. He established orphanages by faith. And he was a man of prayer. And he was known to pray daily, for 8 specific friends to come to Christ and be saved. 8 friends by name every day he prayed for their salvation. One after another, he saw his friends come to Christ, except for one. There was one real stubborn guy. George Mueller's words, I've been praying for 63 years and 8 months for one man's conversion. He's not saved yet, but he will be. How can it be otherwise? I'm praying. 63 years and 8 months for the conversion of his friend. George never saw him saved. He died at 93 years of age in the year 1898. However, at his funeral, his friend for whom he was praying was in attendance, And as Mueller's casket was being lowered into the grave, the man fell to his knees and cried out, "Oh God, be merciful to a sinner like me." It was there in the dirt at the gravesite that George Mueller's friend gave his heart to Christ. The prayers of that man, George Mueller, were answered at last. And you need to understand something about prayer. Our prayers have the power to outlive us and have the power to continue to produce a spiritual harvest to the glory of God in ways you could never think of. Yes, he answers. Yes, there's an opening. Be confident in your prayer life. And then Jesus also goes on to pray, to teach us to pray expectantly, expecting God to answer with good things. Look at verse 11. He says, "If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Now this is beautiful. Jesus is describing something that no earthly father would do. As ugly and as mean and as cruel and as bad as some human fathers could be. No father would do this to their... You know, your little boy comes to you, he's 5 years old. "Daddy, I'd like some bread." And in those days, it was a flat, smooth type of bread. And instead of giving him bread, you give him a flat, smooth rock. "Oh, watch, honey, he's going to chip a tooth." Or your son asks, "Dad, I'd like some fish." And you give him this serpent. Or your little son comes to you and says, "I'd like an egg." And you give him a scorpion. Apparently some of the worst scorpions in that area would sort of curl up so that they look like an egg. What dad would do that? Most dads will feed their kids. In fact, most dads will spoil their kids. They ask for bread, we give them sopapillas with honey, right? They ask for fish, we give them fish and chips. They ask for an egg, we make an omelet. We give good gifts. And Jesus is saying, if you human fathers who are sinful and evil and can be bad, know how to give good gifts, how much more will your perfect, loving, gracious, almighty, heavenly Father give you good things? My brother, my sister in Christ, listen. Every time you pray, expect good from your heavenly Father. Expect the best. Psalm 84 says, "The Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly." Romans 8:28, we know that in all things, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his promise. He will give you good things. He's a good heavenly Father. He'll give you the best. In fact, our heavenly Father has already given us the best, his Son. Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. Romans 8:32 says, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Your heavenly Father is good. Expect the good. Expect the best. Charles Spurgeon used to say, "When you stand before men, ask little and expect less. But when you stand before God, ask much and expect more." and believe that he is able to do for you exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. Oh, man. When's the last time you thought of prayer that way? What is it that you've given up on? You quit praying about? He gives good things. He knows you best. He knows you better than you know yourself. He has the big picture in mind, the plan that he has all mapped out for you. His intentions are to make you an awesome man of God or a woman of God, fruitful. And he's going to work out all these things to make the best possible thing happen. Do you believe that? William Barclay said, remember these three things every time you pray. Number one, remember the love of God that wants the best for us. Number two, remember the wisdom of God that knows what's best for us. And number three, remember the power of God that can accomplish anything. And then pray. You know, it is interesting to me that Jesus specifically at the end of verse 13 promises to give the Holy Spirit. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Of all the good gifts that our heavenly Father can give to us, the best gift, top, is the Holy Spirit. How desperately we need the Holy Spirit. Now, when Jesus said this, you remember the church hasn't been born yet. At Pentecost, the church is born. And in the church age, when you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, you receive the Holy Spirit. And I promise you this. If you ask Jesus Christ to save you, he will. And when you do, you will receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives us the power to live the Christian life. It is the Holy Spirit that empowers us to be witnesses. It is the Holy Spirit that transforms us into the likeness of Christ. It is the Holy Spirit that gives us gifts, spiritual gifts to use. As a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit, but the New Testament also teaches that we should be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. That should be a continual prayer request for us, a continual knocking, a seeking. May I know the fullness of your Spirit in me. May I become more surrendered to your Spirit, more dependent upon your Spirit day by day by day. And this brings up a very important point. In the mind of your heavenly Father, spiritual is much more important than physical. And materialist, do you understand that? Your heavenly Father is way more concerned that you're healthy spiritually, strong spiritually, fruitful spiritually. And you know why? Spiritual health has an impact for all of eternity. And the Holy Spirit, your heavenly Father, wants you to be as fruitful as you can for him. Now, don't get me wrong. That's not to say that God is not concerned with our physical, materialistic needs. He is. And he's so generous with us, by the way, don't you think? He takes such good care of us. But the priority is spiritual. When's the last time you asked God, your heavenly Father, to make you stronger spiritually? To become more dependent upon his Spirit? When's the last time you prayed that for others? You know, we always pray about the person who's sick or who lost their job, who has a need. Those are the prayer requests that regularly come in, and that's good. But when was the last time you prayed for the spiritual health of your friend? The spiritual strength of your friend. Pray persistently. Pray confidently. Pray expectantly. We have an awesome Heavenly Father. Why not, huh? Lord, I thank you for this beautiful lesson. I thank you for this parable. I thank you that you're not like the neighbor in that parable. Lord, you're awesome. Lord, I do know that many of us get discouraged. We get frustrated. Seems like we're asking, seeking, knocking. And we're even praying, in many ways, easy to discern your will, the salvation of others. Lord, we're not going to give up. We're going to keep knocking. We're going to keep praying for the salvation of our family members and our friends. And Lord, as we pray, I pray that you would change us, that we would become more like you, we'd become more discerning of your will. I pray that our relationship with you would grow, that we'd enjoy you, we'd learn just to enjoy you. Lord, I pray that we would remember the spiritual part of life is your priority, and that we'd pray accordingly. And then with every head bowed, your eyes closed. Can you honestly say here this morning that God is your heavenly Father? Are you a child in his family? Are you a daughter? Are you a son? Does he hear your prayers? You know, the Bible teaches we are not all that by default. Bible teaches that we're sinful and our sins separate us from God who's holy. We're alienated from God. That's why God sent his son Jesus. He died on the cross for our sins. He died in our place. He took the punishment we deserved. Rose again on the third day. And if you receive him, if you bow before him, if you admit your need for Jesus as your Savior, you invite him into your life, all your sins will be washed away. And at that moment, you become a child in the family of God and welcome to the world of this amazing prayer life that you can have. Have you received him? I want you to have that opportunity right now. If that's you, I want to lead you in a prayer. This is a prayer that no doubt your Father hears. God will listen. He will save you if you admit that you need saving. So you humble yourself right now and say, Lord Jesus, be my Savior. I surrender my life before you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins and rising again. Wash away all my sins. I receive you right now. Make me a child in your family. Fill me with your spirit right now, I pray. Change my life forever. Thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. Amen. Amen.